Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. In this hour, horror, later on, dark fantasy from 1942, but first an episode of The Hall of Fantasy called The Castle of Lavoca from March 29th, 1954 on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
And now, The Hall of Fantasy. Welcome to the Hall of Fantasy. Welcome to the series of radio dramas dedicated to the supernatural, the unusual, and the unknown. Come with me, my friends. We shall descend to the world of the unknown and forbidden, down to the depths where the veil of time is lifted and the supernatural reigns in peace. Come with me and listen to the tale of The Castle of Lavoca.
One night, shortly after sunset in the dead of winter, they say a carriage drove through here. A carriage drawn by four cold black horses. The carriage, too, was black, and the driver was clothed in a livery of black. He whipped the horses and drove them as if his life depended on it. No one saw who rode inside the carriage, but on its heels there ran a pack of snarling, howling wolves. He said that Drago, Baron of Lavoca, was going to make a pact with Satan himself.
In just a moment, the Hall of Fantasy will present The Castle of Lavoca. And now for tonight's story, an original radio drama by Richard Thorne entitled The Castle of Lavoca.
On vacation in Europe. It was a warm summer's day. Doris and I had cycled out from town, intending to find some inn along the way at which we'd spend the night.
Oh, what time is it, Grant?
Let me see. It's about a quarter after four, Doris.
I think we'd better find some place to stay before it gets too late.
Well, according to the map, there should be a little town about a mile away from here.
Grant?
Yes, dear?
Look, over there.
Where?
Right over there.
Hey, why, it's an old feudal castle.
That's just what it is.
Hey, let's stop a minute.
Right.
Well, will you look at that?
Oh, I've never seen anything like it.
It looks like like history come to life. A walled fortress. Look at those three towers rising up from the walls.
Oh, the whole thing seems to have been built in the form of a triangle. There only seems to be three sides to it.
From what I can see from here, it looks to be in pretty good condition.
I wonder how old it is.
Hey, Dor, I've got an idea. It's too late tonight, but why don't we find the inn and then tomorrow morning see if we can't go through that place?
That sounds pretty good. As a matter of fact, you know, I wouldn't mind spending a day or two around here. It's beautiful country.
Well, I say we do it. What about you?
Oh, you twisted my arm. Grant?
Yes, dear?
Maybe we shouldn't.
Shouldn't what?
Shouldn't go through that place.
Why not?
I don't know. It's just that suddenly I felt cold inside.
You're just remembering a lot of stories about old castles and ghosts. There's nothing to worry about, Dor. The man who probably built that castle and all his descendants are only memories now. And memories can't hurt you. When we had first sighted the castle, I was quite surprised, because there was no indication of its existence on the map I carried. And what Doris had felt, I had felt also. When I first looked upon it, I felt, as she had said, cold inside. What it was, I didn't know. But that feeling had passed, and the only feeling I had was one of enthusiasm for the adventure that was to come the following day. About a mile from the castle, we found the town indicated on the map, a little place called Lavoca. It was no more than a village with a population of a few hundred. The inn was on the other side of the town, and as we pedaled through, the townspeople looked at us curiously. It took us only a few minutes to reach the inn and to enter it. A tall, dark man sat at a table, and he looked up as we passed him. Then he turned away again, obviously lost in thought. We were in a large room full of tables. There was no such thing as a reception desk, save for the bar at one side of the room, which served a double purpose, a bar and a registration desk. A large man with pounds of extra flesh stood behind it. Are you the proprietor? Do you understand English?
I do.
I was afraid...
But I wouldn't. It happens that I do.
Well, we'd like a room for 2 or 3 days. I hope you have something.
All of my rooms are empty save one. It is occupied by the man you passed on your way in. I will be able to accommodate you. You are American?
Well, yes, that's right.
I'm surprised to see you with the world so close to war.
Well, we won't be in this one.
Perhaps. I do not have many visitors these days. The hospitality of my inn is offered to you. If I may be of service to you while you are here, please let me know.
As a matter of fact, you can.
In what way?
Well, we passed an old castle on our way here. Do you think it'll be possible for
you
us to...
You must mean Lavuka Castle.
Why, well, I don't know its name. It's laid out in the form of
a triangle.
Yes.
Yes, I know the castle. It has a particular significance to the people of this area.
Well, can you tell us anything about it?
Later. After you've had the evening meal, you shall hear of it. Come. I shall show you to your room.
As he led us upstairs to our room, we passed again the man who sat alone at the table. He was staring at us and made no attempt to hide the fact. As we went up the stairs to the second floor, I wondered why the innkeeper had seemed so afraid when I mentioned the castle. I had no time for further speculation, however, at least for the next hour. Our time was spent in cleaning up, and Doris kept talking of other things.
Well, I'm ready to go back downstairs, Grant. What about you?
Hey, look at the sunset, Doris.
Oh, it's a beautiful sight, Grant. Grant?
Yes?
Look where I'm pointing to. Isn't that Lavuka Castle?
Yes, it is. Stands out so in the sunset that it seems to be on fire.
Grant, did you watch the innkeeper's face when you asked him about the castle?
He seemed surprised.
I wouldn't call it that. I'd call it frightened.
Perhaps you're right.
And perhaps we should forget about seeing that castle tomorrow. Perhaps we should start back.
We'll see. You know, Dora, you make it seem so... It was so serious. We stood there by the window, looking out at the medieval structure that stood there at the base of the mountains. That afternoon, when we had first seen the castle, it had seemed to be a beautiful relic of a dead past. But as we watched it, bathed in the redness of the setting sun, it seemed to be a mass of molten rock. Little by little, the sun slipped down and the gray shades of dusk moved out towards the castle, advancing slowly, covering the walls with the dark shadows of night. And then it was gone from our sight, swallowed up in the darkness. I had a fantastic thought for a moment that Lavuka Castle was the dwelling place of death. Well, the meal was excellent, and we were both quite hungry. At length, well, it was over, and our host walked over to us.
Some brandy, perhaps?
Not for me.
And you?
Or perhaps later, not now.
If you do not mind, I shall join you.
Yes, of course.
You say you wish to know about Lavuka Castle. Would you object to another at this table? I mean, another besides myself.
Well, no, of course not.
Marek? Yes? Marek, come here.
What do you want?
They desire to know of Lavuka Castle.
They are strangers here?
Yes, you must have seen us come in this afternoon. You were sitting right over there at that table.
Oh, yes, yes, I remember.
Please, sit down, won't you?
Mm. Thank you. Yeah. Yes, I know of the castle, perhaps more than anyone.
But we'd like to learn some of its history.
I will tell you the story. Then we shall see whether you are still interested in Lavuka Castle.
castle was built centuries ago, sometime in the late 1600s. It was built by Drago, the first and only Baron of Lavoca, a man renowned for his cruelty and his prowess in the arts of war. War was his life, the only life he knew, and he lived for the feel of a strong blade in his hand. He lived for one purpose, to kill. It is said that the only thing Drago feared was death. He dealt with it almost every day of his life, yet he feared it. He feared the day that he would die. It is said that he made a pact with Satan himself so that he would not die. This is the legend. One night, shortly after sunset, in the dead of winter, they say a carriage drove through here. A carriage drawn by four coal black horses.
Get out there! Get out!
The carriage, too, was black, and the driver was clothed in a livery of black. He whipped the horses and drove them as if his life depended on it.
Get out there! Get out!
No one saw who rode inside the carriage, but on its heels there ran a pack of snarling, howling wolves. Those who saw what happened that night were frightened almost to death. The carriage drove straight to the gate of Lavoca Castle. And a huge drawbridge was lowered to admit an entrance. The carriage rumbled across it, but the pack of black wolves stayed outside. They stayed outside, and the sound of their howling voices drifted back to this town, and the people were afraid. People looked up towards the castle, and they said it was bathed in an eerie luminescence. The visitor to the castle was there for the better part of 3 hours. And then the drawbridge was lowered again, and the carriage rumbled out. It seemed to be going even faster. And the driver whipped and drove the horses.
Get out!
Till their mouths were white with foam and their eyes wide with fear. The carriage rushed through the center of the town, and the people were so afraid, they turned their eyes away, lest by looking upon it, they should die. Those who said they heard the sound of a crying baby coming from inside the carriage, but they thought they were mistaken. The following evening, the news was brought to them that the Baron's son had disappeared and was nowhere to be found. And as the man stood before them, telling the townspeople of what had happened, the shadows grew together in the night, and from the distance they heard...
You are listening to the tale of The Castle of Lavoca on tonight's journey down the corridors of the Hall of Fantasy. We'll return to our story in just a moment. And now back to tonight's story, entitled The Castle of Lavoca.
We sat there around a large oak table and listened to a story so fantastic, it defied description. There were four of us in that room, the innkeeper, Doris, and myself, and Mark, the storyteller. He continued with his story.
The shadows grew together in the night, and from the distance they heard the howling cry of a wolf. The face of the Baron's servant blanched with fear, and he turned and made his way back to the castle. He never reached it alive.
Well, of course, this is nothing but legend. Isn't that right?
It is legend, yes, but it is also truth.
But it can't
help. What Marek says is true. I would stake my life on it.
Let him go on with the story.
I'd like a little brandy first.
I thought perhaps you might. For you?
Thank you, no.
Now then, go on with your story.
By your leave. As I said, they found the servant outside the castle gate, and there was a great uproar about his death. But the Baron issued an edict that it was never to be discussed. And of course, the people obeyed him, for by now they lived in superstitious fear of the Baron. I must add that the night the carriage appeared, that night the Baron's son was carried away. The war began. Of course, the Baron went off to the war and distinguished himself in the field. The war was over in due time, and the Baron returned to Lavoca Castle. He lived a quiet life in the years that followed. But 21 years to the night his son disappeared, it happened again. Again, it was a cold winter's night. The snow crunched under your feet and the air was brisk and biting. From the north, the wind began to blow. Then from out of the night, the carriage appeared again. It was exactly the same as that which had happened 21 years before.
Get up! Get up there!
It was the same driver, the same carriage, and it even appeared to be the same horses. It flashed through the town and up the road leading to the castle. And in the back of it, the devil dogs ran, snarling and howling. Until the carriage rolled into the castle. And they sat outside as they had a generation before. But it was not for long, for in a few minutes the carriage appeared again. There was no doubt about it this time, for very clearly the townspeople heard...
No, let me go! Let me go! In the name of...
And in another moment, the carriage was gone. The following day, the townspeople learned that the Baron's wife had disappeared. They knew who had come to claim her. That night, war broke out in Romania, and the Baron hastened to join the conflict.
If I understand you correctly, both times the carriage appeared, war broke out?
That is correct.
What happened then?
Just as he had done before, the Baron distinguished himself in the war and returned to Laboka Castle. By this time, the Baron was almost 60. Peace reigned for a period of 40 years, and sometime during that time, the Baron disappeared.
He died?
I say he disappeared.
Well, when did he die?
There are no records of his ever dying. They say he lies at rest in one of the catacombs beneath the castle, waiting.
Waiting? Waiting for what?
Waiting for the war.
The war?
The black carriage has appeared each time war begins, no matter where it happens. And in each war, there has been a report of a man who calls himself Baron Laboka, fighting in the battles.
That's fantastic.
Call it what you will, but when the last war began, the carriage appeared and drove straight up to the castle. I was but a boy then, and I saw it with my own eyes. The night before that, we heard the wolves. Each time the carriage appears, the wolves appear the night before, to warn us of its coming, to let us know we should guard ourselves.
Now that you have heard the story, do you still wish to visit Laboka Castle?
No.
Yes. I don't care what you say. I can't bring myself to believe your story. I think it's nothing but superstitious nonsense.
But, Grant...
I'm sorry, darling. But I want to visit that castle. If you want, you can remain here.
No, I'll go with you.
What about you, Mark? Will you show us the way? Enter the castle with us?
You say that in such a way that if I were to refuse, I would appear to be a coward. I shall go with you, American. Tomorrow afternoon will be all right with you?
Yes.
Let us have a drink to your trip.
That's a good idea.
Will you join us, madame?
Yes, I will.
All right, then. To your trip tomorrow to... Laboka Castle.
To Laboka Castle.
Laboka Castle. We went upstairs to our room shortly after that. The story Mark had told had been quite long and the hour was late. We went to bed, yet neither of us could sleep.
Grant.
Yes, dear?
Don't you think we should go home soon?
Why?
Well, how long have we been over here?
Since the middle of May.
Well, this is August 30th. I've seen enough of Europe. I want to go home. I think 3.5 months is enough time to spend.
Well, all right, Dora. When we get back to Murat's, we'll make arrangements to go home.
Good. About tomorrow... What's that?
What?
I heard an animal outside.
Oh, that was just a dog, Dora. Go to sleep.
All right. Good night.
Good night. It was the following afternoon. For some reason, we hadn't been able to get started until late in the afternoon. It was after 3 o'clock when we started out.
We discarded our bicycles in favor of horses, which Mark had been able to procure for us. The trip up to Lavoca Castle was uneventful, and within an hour we stood at the edge of the drawbridge, looking into the courtyard.
Shall we go across?
Of course.
It doesn't show any signs of age.
It has been perfectly preserved. I'll take you on a tour of the inside. We can leave the horses here.
I'll give you a hand, Doris.
That's all right, Grant. I can manage.
All right.
Now, just follow me.
Mark led across the courtyard and into the gray building. The huge wooden doors were slightly ajar at the entrance, and with an effort, Mark pushed them open and led us inside. We were in a huge hall, which must have served as both a reception hall and a dining place. From there, he led us into the Baron's chambers, his wife's, which formed two sides of the massive triangle. Members of the retinue must have occupied the third side of the triangle. We visited each of the three towers which looked out across the countryside, giving a clear view of anything approaching. And then Mark led us down into the cells beneath the castle. Coming finally to another stairway, he turned to me.
This leads down into the catacombs.
Well, let's go down and take a look at them.
Perhaps we...
Oh, nonsense, Dor. We both have flashlights. I see you brought a gun, Mark. Nothing could hurt us. Let's go.
All right.
Oh, it seems colder down here.
Yes, it does.
I shall show you where they say the Dago is sleeping.
What time is it, Grant?
Why, it's 7:30.
Yes, we have been in the castle for several hours. We have been down here in the lower sections where there is no light for over an hour. I shall show you the Baron's resting place, and then we shall return to the inn. This is the chamber where he sleeps.
Oh, Grant, there is someone in here.
But this isn't a joke, is it, Mark?
I have never been down here before. It is no joke, as you call it.
I want to have a look at him.
No, Grant, don't.
I can't believe it. This man seems to be sleeping, yet he's not breathing.
Let's get out of here, Grant.
All right.
I've been nervous ever since I heard that dog last night.
You say you heard a dog?
Yes.
There are no dogs in this area. No animal will come within miles of the town and castle. The animals fear it. That was no dog you heard last night.
You mean?
We have no time to lose. We must get out of here. Follow me.
Yes.
It was the warning you heard.
I knew we shouldn't have come.
Don't worry, Dor. We'll get out of this.
I wish I felt that sure.
The horses are out in the courtyard. It won't be long now.
The horses are on the others.
They're gone.
What are we going to do?
Be quiet. Get back over here in the shadows.
Yes.
Perhaps you will not see us.
Grant, the drive...
Be quiet.
What's that? What's that noise?
I don't know. The driver's pointing to the doorway.
Grant.
It's the Baron. Baron Lavoca.
He's walking towards the carriage.
Be quiet. He's looking this way.
He's turning away.
He's getting into the carriage.
Get up! Get up there!
Before our eyes, the carriage wheeled around the courtyard and then thundered across the drawbridge and out into the night, followed by the snarling wolves. We found our horses later and went back to town. When we returned to the inn, the innkeeper was relieved to see us.
The carriage drove through here a while ago. I thought you'd all be dead.
Providence must have had an eye on us.
Well, it will happen tomorrow.
What will happen tomorrow?
The war. The war will begin.
The innkeeper was right. The night we saw the carriage in the courtyard of the Castle Lavoca was August 31st. on September 1, 1939. The Germans marched into Poland, and the Second World War began.
So runs tonight's tale of the unusual, the terrifying, the unknown. Join us again when next we journey down the corridors of the Hall of Fantasy to hear another strange tale of the supernatural. All characters and events portrayed in these programs are fictional, and any similarity to actual events or persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental.
The Hall of Fantasy, on Tuned To Yesterday from March 29, 1954 on the Mutual Broadcasting System, wrapping up that series run, which began out of KALL in Salt Lake City under the direction and writing talent of Dick Thorne. Its first broadcast heard in November of 1946. The Armed Forces Radio Service also picked up a handful of the shows to air for our men and women serving overseas in the early 1950s. You are listening to An Hour of Horror on Tuned To Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for the Scott Bishop series, Dark Fantasy, with the story Pennsylvania Turnpike, heard on NBC on March 20th, 1942.
Howdy, stranger.
Howdy, mister. Mind if I come in and sit a while?
Nope, reckon it don't. Gets sort of dad blame lonesome along this highway.
Much obliged. My feet wouldn't hold up another mile.
Are you hitching?
Yep.
Going fur?
Don't know.
Come fur?
Yep. Come a ranch, smart piece.
Getting pretty old, be hitchhiking. Get many rides?
Yep.
Had anything to eat lately?
Not much. Coffee smells good.
It is good. Make it myself. How about a cup? Warm you up.
All right.
Matter of fact, I'll have one with you.
Got any manse bread?
Any what?
Manse bread.
Never heard of it.
No. I forgot. Reckon you never have.
Here you are, mister. Nice and hot.
How much?
Oh, just a nickel.
I don't know what a nickel is, but take it out of that.
Much obliged. Hey, hold on. This ain't no nickel.
What's that, mister?
I say this ain't no nickel. It's a gold coin. Hey, don't you know it's against the law to have gold in your possession these days?
Against what law?
Why, well, we went off the gold standard years ago. Everybody turned in their gold. Well, they turned into the government. And they got silver in exchange.
I see. You best return my coin.
Well, this coin is old, ain't it, stranger?
Somewhat.
Yeah, old. Got the head of the King of England on it. Can't see the date very well. See, 1700
and
something.
Take this coin instead. I gave you the gold one by mistake.
Well, brother, I ain't making no mistake when I give it back to you. To my way of thinking right now, that gold coin ain't worth a plug nickel.
Yeah. I think you'll find this one's legal tender.
Yeah, thanks. How about a sandwich?
What?
A sandwich.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You're a queer one. Yeah. Wrapped up in this wax paper. A sandwich.
Never seen nothing like that before.
Yeah? Well, why don't you try one? On the house.
Eh?
I said try one. No charge. Yours.
Oh. Thanks. Good coffee.
Yeah, got to admit it is. Folks around here always have a good word to say for Joe Davis and his coffee. Don't you know where you're heading for, stranger?
No, haven't the slightest idea.
How come? You mean you're just roaming about with no particular end in mind?
No. I've planned what I intend to do for years.
Well, what are you intending to do?
That I'll discuss with no one.
Okay, okay. Don't get the idea I'm nosing into your business. How's the sandwich?
What's that?
I said, how's the sandwich?
Oh. Oh, this. Not so good. Tastes funny.
Well, that's good boiled ham.
Don't like it.
Well, you got no kick coming. Didn't have to pay for it.
I intend to pay you.
Nope. No charge.
But I always pay all my debts.
Well, this is one you don't have to, stranger. Especially since you don't like the thing.
I've paid every debt I ever owed. Except one.
Well, one's not so bad. We'll probably get it paid off someday.
Yeah. I'll pay it. I waited long enough. I can wait a while longer.
Want more coffee, stranger?
No. This is plenty. By the way, do you happen to know many people in these parts?
Quite a few, yes.
You ever run on to any folks with red hair?
Red hair?
Yeah.
Well, let me think. No. No, can't say the hair. Why?
Oh, I'm just interested in folks with red hair.
Are you?
Only take rides in cars with men with red hair.
Why is that?
Oh, I got a pretty good reason. You see, the man I owe that debt to has red hair.
Oh, has he?
Brilliant red.
Where are you putting up for the night?
Ain't sure. Depends.
Well, there's a tourist cabin about 2 miles up the turnpike.
Might stop in there. Place have many customers?
Yep, quite a few along this time of year.
Might stop there then, have a look around.
Mister, if you don't mind my saying so, you've got me puzzled.
And so?
Yeah, you sure have. Those clothes you're wearing, never seen anything like them before in my life.
You probably never will again.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, nothing especially.
You're sure the mysterious one. You better have another cup of coffee.
No, thanks.
Well, how about a cigarette then, huh?
No, I'm old-fashioned. I smoke a pipe.
Well, okay. Go up then. Say, what kind of tobacco is that?
Oh, it's King's Choice.
Never heard of it.
No. Reckon you never have.
Something new?
Older than you were.
Mm-hmm. Where can you buy it?
Reckon you can't anymore.
Oh, quit making it, huh?
About 100 years or so back.
Hmm?
You wouldn't remember.
Oh, you're ribbing me, huh? Of course I wouldn't remember 100 years back. Neither would you.
You'd be surprised, mister.
What do you mean?
Nothing. Especially.
I don't get it. Look, you smoking tobacco 100 years old.
Nothing particularly remarkable about that, is there? I always say what's old belongs to the old.
I reckon you're not more than 60.
60?
Sure, 65 at the most.
My friend, suppose you take 60, double it, and add a century.
What? Double 60 and add 100? Why, that's 220.
Your arithmetic is excellent. Have a match?
Match? Oh, yes. Yes, sure, match. Here you be.
Thank you. You have a customer.
Oh, yes. Generally, somebody stops for a few gallons of gas along about this time.
Better throw away that cigarette and run that gasoline.
Be back in a minute, old hammer. Yes, sir. A little gas?
No, I'd like a little information.
Well, got a lot of that, too.
Can you tell me the way to Pine Knob?
Pine Knob? What's that, tourist camp?
No, it's a town. Pine Knob, Pennsylvania.
Never heard of it.
It's out this way someplace. Supposed to be about 80 miles out of Pittsburgh in this direction.
Well, see, Pittsburgh's about 78 miles back.
Well, then I should be pretty close.
Never heard tell of no Pine Knob. Been living here, man and boy, for 40 years. Ain't never seen nothing of the place or heard tell of it.
Well, I know it's out here someplace. I followed my directions here. I don't know whether to take that crossroad or follow the turnpike.
Sorry, can't tell you, mister.
Perhaps I can.
Eh? Oh, you.
Pine Knob, you say, mister?
Yes. It's a small town somewhere in this neighborhood.
Not in this neighborhood, it ain't.
You don't happen to remember anything about it, do you, old-timer?
That's a nice hat you're wearing.
Huh?
I said that's a nice hat you're wearing.
Yeah, thanks. Did you ever hear of Pine Knob?
Mind if I see it?
You see what?
Your hat.
Oh, forget my hat. You know anything about Pine Knob?
I might. After I've seen the hat.
Look here. If you know how I can get to Pine Knob, I'll...
Hey, look, mister. Let him have a gander at the hat. You were the old boy. He hasn't got all his marbles.
Oh, very well. Here. You can buy it in any hat shop for $10. Free initials if you want them.
Yeah. Quite nice.
What's that? The hat? Oh, you haven't even looked at it.
No. I was admiring the gentleman's hair.
What about my hair?
I said it's nice. Bright red.
Yeah, red hair runs in my family. Now, how about the hat back and a little information?
Oh, your initials in the band. K.M. Could the last name be Minor?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, you saw my driver's license on the steering post.
No.
How'd you know?
I just hoped I was right.
Oh, hang it all. Do you or don't you know how I can get to Pine Knob?
Yes, I know.
Will you tell me then?
No, I can't do that.
Why not?
Because the way is seldom traveled. You'd never find it by directions.
Then can you go there with me to show me the way?
There's nothing I'd like better than to take you to Pine Knob.
Yeah. Well, now, that's more like it. I'll pay you for whatever your time's worth.
I'll collect, all right. But I assure you my time's of practically no value whatsoever.
Come on around, get in.
I'll ride in the back.
No, come on in front with me.
No, thank you. I prefer the back.
Say, mister, you better humor the old boy as much as you can. He ain't as bright as he probably used to be.
Oh, all right. All right, old-timer, hop in. Oh, thanks a lot.
Oh, you're welcome. Come back and see me.
Well, I see him come and I see him go. But that old gent beats anything I've ever set eyes on. Oh, the old man dropped his bag of tobacco. Almost half full. King's Choice. The Smoker's Friend. Raymond Tobacco Company. Established 1756.
Turnpike in a minute or two.
Then how far?
Not far.
Is the road good?
Not so good.
I say, does my chatter bore you, old-timer?
No, not especially.
You give me the impression you don't want to talk.
People talk too much nowadays.
Me, I like to talk. Especially when I'm driving. Helps make the miles go faster.
The turn up ahead.
Yeah, where?
Off to the right.
There's no place to turn off.
Yes, there is. You can see it. There. See?
Well, yes. But that road, it wasn't there a moment ago.
It's been there for years. It's the road to take.
This isn't any ordinary road.
Right. It isn't.
There are no automobile tracks.
Never been an automobile on this road.
I don't understand.
You will, presently.
Nothing but wagon tracks.
That's right. Wagons. And a stagecoach.
Stagecoach?
Yes. You can see the hoof marks in the soft earth.
Oh, I was noticing.
Six coal black horses, the pride of Pennsylvania.
What's that?
Nothing important.
I see. Look behind.
Behind?
Yes. Look, where's the turnpike?
We have left it. Far behind.
Oh, not far. Less than a half a mile. We should be able to see it from here.
No. It's nowhere in view.
And the buildings along the turnpike. Where are they?
All of that. Is past.
Past?
Yes. There is no turnpike. There are no buildings.
Nothing but open prairie land. Trees. Hills. Tall grass. No fences. No other roads except this one.
It's the The only road for miles round.
But where does it take us?
The Pine Knob. That's where you wanted to go?
Well, yes, but I...
You asked me to show you the way to Pine Knob. This is it.
Well, everything's changed, though. Suddenly, everything's different.
Yes, naturally.
But why?
Did you ever ask yourself what time really is?
Time?
Yes, Mr. Miner. Time.
I don't follow you.
Suppose a long time ago, something had happened to you. Suppose that incident was so important, so outstanding in your life, it was necessary for you to do something about it.
I still don't understand.
Let me put it into the present instead of the past. Suppose today something should happen to you. Suppose it is so out of the ordinary that you'd never forget it. Probably something you think needs revenge.
Revenge?
And suppose you decided your spirit would never rest until you'd found that revenge, even though many scores of years had passed away.
I don't understand.
Now, what would you do, Mr. Miner? What could you do but roam from place to place seeking that revenge?
You're talking over my head.
Am I?
You certainly are.
What I'm getting at is this. If you'd find yourself in just such a situation, time would suddenly have no meaning to you. You'd think no more about the past or the present or the future. Time would be something unknown to you. Things you call the future now wouldn't be future at all. Incidents you call past wouldn't be past. They'd be now, what you call present, all rolled up into one.
Yeah, that's a strange way of reasoning.
Not so strange once you've experienced it.
Have you ever experienced it?
I assure you, yes.
You mean that things that have happened in the past are actually happening now?
Precisely.
And things in the future are taking place now, too?
Naturally. One case being possible, the other naturally follows.
Oh, just some philosopher's theory.
It's much more than a mere theory.
Oh, you know better than that, and so do I. What's happened in the past has happened. What's going to happen certainly isn't taking place now.
Possibly I'll change your mind about that before this day ends.
Oh, no. Not me, mister. By the way, you haven't told me your name.
Names are unimportant. Only incidents are important.
Yeah. You haven't said how you knew my name.
That was quite obvious. Your red hair. The initials in your hat band.
I still don't see how you
There's
knew.
There's Pine Knob. Ahead.
Yeah. Down in the valley.
Yes.
Where did it get its name, Pine Knob?
Because in the center of the town you'll find a little mound. Three pine trees growing from it. It was under these trees that men have been trying for their lives. It's from them that men have been hanged.
That's a pleasant thought. The town seems deserted.
Yes, I suppose it is by now.
What do you mean?
You see. There. Stage office is over there. The stage is in. See? Across the road. Pull up here. Across from it.
Yeah, right. So this is Pine Knob. I see. That man on the stagecoach with the reins in his hands. And that other man handing up that metal box.
Quiet. Listen to what they say.
All right, Hank. That's a gold. Better take good care of it.
You know where they're going to get this gold? It's going right on through to Kelby. If anybody tries to stop the stage this trip, I'll be ready for him. Pass along, partner. See you in a week. Come on, boy. Get up there. See, get up.
Those two men. The one on the stagecoach.
Exactly.
He looks and talks exactly like you, and the other one like me.
You must follow that stage. Start the car.
I don't understand all this.
Start the car. Follow the stage.
I'd take my oath that those two men are...
Not time to talk. Follow the stage.
Oh, what is this, a dream?
No. I waited a long time for this day.
What do you mean?
Yes. 90 years I waited.
90?
More than 3 normal lifetimes, and finally the day is here.
Look here. Whoever you are, would you mind telling me just what this is all about? Why are we following that stagecoach?
You see, it's beginning.
What's beginning?
The stage. See? It stopped.
Yeah. Something's wrong.
More than you think. Drive right up behind it.
Maybe we can help.
No, there's nothing we can do. Stop right behind the stage.
Yeah. Hey, look. Look at that man standing at the side of the stagecoach, talking to the driver.
I'm watching him.
He's the man with the red hair. The man who looks exactly like me. And the other one on the stage, he's the exact image of you.
Quiet. Watch what happens. Listen.
What's up, partner? Called me out of town, did you?
Yeah. I sure did, Hank. I reckon I'd better take that gold.
Take the gold? Where?
Just take it. Hand it down, Hank.
Hold on. Why do you want that gold, Ken?
Stop asking questions. Just hand down the box.
I don't think I'd better, Ken.
Now look, I mean business.
You're drawing a gun on me, partner?
I mean business, Hank. Hand down that gold.
You're robbing this gold.
I'm taking it and clearing out. Here to tell folks is settling out west. I aim to go there.
Ken, I done trusted you like a brother. I never thought the day would come when you...
Hand me down the gold, Hank.
This gold's going to kill me.
It ain't going no farther than it is right now. I'm taking it with me.
Put away your gun, Ken.
Don't argue with me, Hank. I'll shoot you if I have to.
And by Ginger, you'll have to. I ain't handing down this gold.
Keep those hands on the reins.
Not on your life, partner.
Don't go for that gun.
You shot me. In cold blood?
No. No.
I didn't have a chance. You knew I didn't carry a gun. Just the rifle there on the seat.
No, I didn't do that. I didn't shoot you.
I wasn't going for no gun. You've murdered me.
No. For heaven's sakes, this isn't real. I've never fired a gun in my life.
You think it isn't real?
No. Well, it can't be.
Now, do you understand what I meant by no past, no future?
That man on the stage, you.
180 years ago on this spot.
But it can't be you. That man on the stage was shot. He fell. He's lying there on the ground now.
Is he? Turn around. See for yourself.
Gone. Everything's gone.
Everything but you and me.
I didn't kill you.
That man with the red hair, the one who spoke like you, looked like you, was the first member of your family to settle in this country. He was my partner. I trusted him. He murdered me.
But I didn't.
Now, the debt is about to be paid.
No. No, you can't blame me for something that happened almost 200 years ago.
I waited this long for my revenge. I won't let it pass by now. Get into the car.
No. No, keep away. Don't come near me. Don't touch that wheel.
Time has come. I'm driving now.
No, I say.
There's no way to escape.
You can't murder me. I had nothing to do with that
you
shooting.
You can't escape.
I will escape. I will.
You're doomed.
I knew you were some devil. You brought me here to kill me.
But you can't. The road ends around the turn up there. Nothing but a 1,000-foot drop down the mountainside.
Pennsylvania Turnpike. Tonight's original tale of dark fantasy by Scott Bishop, originating in the studios of WKY. Ben Morris played Ken Miner. Fred Wayne was heard as Hank, and Muir Height was the filling station attendant. Next Friday night at this same time, listen to the 19th in this series of unusual and original tales of dark fantasy, created by Scott Bishop. Next week's story is called Convoy for Atlantis, a fantastic yarn of ships that disappear in the night, and of strange and valuable treasures which arise from the sea. An adventure that takes us down to the very bottom of the mighty Atlantic Ocean for a special observation of the Convoy for Atlantis. Don't miss this weird tale of an ancient race that lives again on a mighty sunken continent. Tom Paxton speaking. Dark Fantasy comes to you from Oklahoma City. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Dark Fantasy, on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC episode from the 20th of March, 1942. Wrapping up this hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVillier. Thanks for listening.